next time you stop by here.
The power is going to restore 15 to 20 million jobs. I am your future.
We have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio. As you know, serving Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area and the world on the internet by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. In fact, I'm going to ask that you go to your telephone and invite family members and friends to tune in right now. And if you are on the internet listening, email someone and let them know that they can tune in. When they go to the front page of American Workers Radio, you'll see our panelists, Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, and Mark Andel. You can click on their picture and learn lots about them as well. Well, today we have a full house. Larkin is in studio, along with Rich Logis and Mark Andel. And before I begin today, I want everyone to know that individuals that I work with in the community, as well as in my efforts with American Workers Radio, I interact with a lot of political people, and they represent officials from all parties. Most of them are very responsive to my requests. However, my contacts with them are mainly with local and state-level officials, but I see firsthand that if more of our national leaders were as responsive as local elected officials, things in America would certainly be a lot different. Now, I'd also like to add, before I go to some of our guests, a lot of what we see happening in the USA is because we don't have a balanced budget amendment. The state people, the local governments, all have to have a balanced budget to guide them, so they're a little more considerate of the people in the cities and the states, their constituents, the people who elected them. And from my own personal problem with the people, it's mainly because they don't have a defined agenda. When I complain to them or something, they say, well, you don't understand how it is in Washington. Well, I think we better make it more like it is in Albany, in Harrisburg, in Philadelphia, and in Trenton, so that we can get the American dream moving again. First, I'm going to turn to Larkin Connolly today, and I must mention we were at the annual expo, which is sponsored by the Greater Northeast Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce, last Wednesday, and it was a great event. And of course, Larkin was representing SCORE, and I was representing American Workers and giving out my flyers. And I go to different events, so I see some of the people from time to time. And one of the things I must say today is that as I go around, people immediately call me over now to show me that they have been able to get some items made in the USA. So that being a little bit of a nag and, you know, making yourself known as a person promoting a particular thing sometimes really helps the cause. But we, all of us, have to get back to the American dream. And I have to, you know, say that all of us on the radio, our listeners and many of the major news media outlets, the newspapers and local radio programs as well, have been doing their job to promote the American dream, to get those jobs back. But we have to discuss a way to get our national leaders on board. Larkin, we want to hear from you first today.
Good morning, Michael. It's genuinely good to be back in studio. These conversations are always so much fun. And Henry, good morning to you. Rich and Mark, good morning. The event that I attended with Michael last week was a Chamber of Commerce, the Northeast Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce. Let's build a business. Let's all find out who we are. It was a huge networking opportunity in a gymnasium at Holy Family University. And when I spotted Michael across the gym, I thought, oh, I'm going to go over and say hello to him. And by the time I got over there, he had lit and gone. I looked around, and then he was under the basket talking to somebody else, so I went over there. by the time I was got over there, he was under the opposing end basket. I looked down, and he had tennis shoes on. No wonder. I mean, he needs to wear tennis shoes. I've never seen anybody cover that much ground. And
Got to do it.
And nag that many people. But you know what? My mother taught me the day I got married, nagging works.
And the squeaky wheel does get the oil.
The squeaky wheel gets the oil. And wheel gets the oil. And it does work. Everybody had their small business first Friday, Saturday and Sunday of the month. Placards, and you can tell that a great story about the girl who had.
We are, even the one particular company called me over, and for about 2 years I was complaining that they don't have anything made in America. I was picking up their water bottles and everything else, and as soon as I entered, they called me right over. And they showed me the water bottles made in the USA. They showed me their trinkets. I said, fine. Now, if we can get 10,000 more companies interested to do that, we will have a few more jobs.
So, Mark, I've got to tell you, I've got to switch wheels real quickly here. I was sitting home the other night, Tuesday, Wednesday night, that evening. I had my laptop in my lap and the television on in the background. And on comes, of all people, on my television, Warren Buffett. And Mr. Buffett looks me square in the eyes and he says, "Welcome to the new Buffalo." And I went, "Am I in the wrong city? Am I asleep? Welcome to the new Buffalo?" And for 30 seconds on that opportunity, 60 seconds the next time I saw it, he proceeded to tell me that cutting taxes for business is Buffalo's business.
Is that right?
I was amazed. Actually, Jim Kelly, the quarterback, was the keynote. The Geico, whatever that little salamander is.
Yeah.
The
Geico guy. He was on there saying that Geico had moved to Buffalo. And the message was that Buffalo is investing, actually the New York State is investing $1 billion to attract and grow small businesses. That was the message. That was the key message.
And that was on just a TV show or a commercial?
That was a 60. I saw a 30 and a 60 second commercial on Philadelphia's NBC affiliate.
Yeah, very good. You know, they've been talking about investing money, and of course, New York City is always a big draw, and we're in Western New York here, so we a lot of times don't get much money or creativeness up here. And it's a beautiful waterfront on Lake Erie in the city. Brian Higgins up here does a great job, and different people trying to build the city. They've had tough things, and they've made promises, and I hope they follow through. There are things happening. It's a slow process, but it's great to hear that, Larkin, that on national TV in your state, they're trying to attract people in.
So my wife looked at me, and of course, with a grandchild and my daughter living in St. Augustine, and it's like warm down there and not quite so warm up here. I looked at that commercial and I turned to my wife and I said, "I'll be darned. That's phenomenal." I mean, I've seen Virginia, the state of Virginia say, come to Virginia this summer, and New Jersey and Delaware come to the shore, promoting that stuff. But I said, they're talking about me making a permanent move to Buffalo because it's a small business atmosphere.
And Warren Buffett himself, I want to look into that.
Yeah, and I turned to my wife after saying that, and she said, "Don't you dare. Don't. We are not moving to Buffalo." You go down to Florida and start this initiative down there. And I said, "Well, Rich is already down there. He's got it covered down there.
I need a good guy, Larkin." You have friends here.
Mark, how was the Las Vegas gig? How did all that end up?
Excellent. I can't say enough, Mike. We went in there as a more or less a small company in the big time league, and me and Daniel, my nephew, we were one guy short. My brother-in-law was out, and I was amazed. It was a world experience that'll last. By when I talked to you guys, it was day two. I was just going in, and it was a 3-day show: Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Remember, it's the largest hardware retail show in the world, and every buyer, there's 17,000 buyers that were there in over 10,000 booths. So going into that second day, we're sitting there, we're set up, we're meeting people I met. everybody from Sky Mall to Northern Tool to Granger, the head buyers, to Sam's Club, we wanted one win, and we got many. Loved our fire ring. Remember, we represented Made in America World Distribution, and our big backdrop said Rebuilding the American Dream. And
beautiful.
My nephew came up, and it was beautiful. I'm going to send you pictures. It just, our display looked nice, but a small 10 by 10. First time we ever did the show, everybody said, you did the show? Channel Lock said, you're in the show? They thought we were walking around the show. I said, no, we're in it. Well, anyways, about halfway through, we got called up. A guy came over, hey, you guys won an award. And me and Dan, geez, we can't leave our booth. So we both got asked to go up. We won an award for best display, most initiative and for America. And most American, principles. It was awesome. You know, that took us to another level. This is a show that buyers, they have once a year. So they really respected. The first day I didn't tell my story, and the second day I started to with the buyers. And it was awesome. I mean, I can't say enough. You can actually watch this award. I of course, said like you would, Mike, you know, is it made in America? And it weighs the weight of two bowling balls, this trophy. And I was honored and very surprised, and it is made in America. You can go online and watch it being made. So very neat. And there's two Made in America sections. The one we were in was in the home and ranch, or I'm sorry, the ranch and farm. And the other Made in America section was in the home and garden. And this, I talked to one gentleman, it's 8 miles if you walk the show each day. That's how large this is. I went down, there was spying going on from, foreign engineers, and you had to shoo them away. Some booths next to me trained when they're looking at your product, when they really get down and touch it with their nose, they steal, and you'll see your product copied right away. I went in the first time inventor's room, which was very neat. The inventor's room was mostly American inventors and what they come up with brand new. Now, it could be a guy that just had a great idea and he's going for it. He's waiting for his patent. He might have a provisional patent. And then there's the new product. They love that room, but they also told me it's a double-edged sword. There's people stealing the ideas, so you had to stop. There wasn't cameras allowed, but then all of a sudden you see somebody. So the guy said, you might have somebody copy your idea before you can bring it to market. Somebody's copied it. But these people, I talked to them, Mike, like you asked. I asked them in an inventors and a new products area, is it built in America? I had to come out and say, do you build in America? Because I can't sell to my store unless it is. So some of their heads went down. Some of them said, I'd love to do it. Most of them that went to China had a bad experience because they make you pay in full 100%. And a lot of times they shut you off. They never respond no more. They don't build your product. Some of them dealt with Taiwan, better quality, more of a British marketing system. But a lot of them were built in the United States and believe in what we're doing. I met some great people that, and I said, well, build that in America, and I'll put that in my store, and I'll help you launch it. So it was a great show. We've got from manufacturers, buyers. I learned enough for a year. My fire ring, it could save my company because a lot of them like that it was made in America. And just to see two Made in America areas with over 500 booths, people that just had the Made in America flag there and these big banners above it, these buyers I talked to were actually, when they were going to the Made in America areas because the consumer is demanding it. So what we're doing, Mike and team and Larkin and Rich, is working. They didn't have a Made in America store area last year, two of them, and it's growing.
Well, that's, and
it's huge.
Michael's done a great job of getting you up on AmericanWorkersRadio.com. There's quite a display here, and congratulations.
Yeah, Mark, I want to let you know that there's a special link that we have on the bottom of the left side, and we're seeing you here getting that trophy.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah, we have a whole report there, and we have some of your people there at your booth. It's all there, and your Made in America logo there is, outlining your store. It's beautiful.
Great.
Anyone would like to see it, yeah. It's on AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Go on the left side where you listen live, and all the way on the bottom, it's the special reports link. Check it out. You'll see Mark and all of his gang there that were at the special trade show.
And they're great, great pictures. And I would only make this one remark as an aside. You're nowhere near as ugly as Michael told me you were.
Oh, God. You look like we'll you could be a star. I'm telling you. I always tell him you look like a star. In fact, I see your whole crew there receiving that award. You all look very, very cheered up.
It was a shock. I mean, it really was. We didn't even know there was an award, for one, to be honest with you. And then to win an award at this huge show that's one of the top in the world, it was an honor. You know, and it was neat to be respected for what we're doing.
Oh, that's great. And kudos to you. That's phenomenal.
Rich, really what's happening with you?
Guys, good morning. And Mark, congratulations. Very, very well deserved, well earned. And, you know, Mark, and funny you mentioned Buffalo because, though it's not definite yet, I guess I'm not allowed to actually talk about the details, but because it's not definite yet, we may be doing an asset tracking project with barcoding in the Buffalo schools. As a matter of fact.
Oh, really?
So,
excellent.
And that's kind of in the works right now, and we've got the plan for the schools to get it going the right way with respect to the taxpayers, right? Because my paycheck on that's coming from taxes, so I'm actually quite mindful of that. So, as our company is, and. So funny you mentioned Buffalo on that because we're directly in discussions with them. And Mark, again, congratulations. And your IT guys, by the way, are welcome to follow up with me.
I keep telling Dan I've got him so busy, but he will call you, Rich.
Anytime, Mark. And actually, Michael, one thing I want to mention is the reason I wasn't able to attend last week was because our company and I was there representing our company. It's an organization that's in the Metro Miami area, whose goal, primary goal, is to attract businesses and commerce to the Metro Miami area, which is a very attractive place, but unfortunately has lost business and commerce. Actually, not so much to overseas, but elsewhere within the U.S. So it's all about the competition, right? When you can level the playing field. Unfortunately, the playing field isn't quite as level as we'd all like to think that it is. So I think it's great for cities to take initiatives to go and compete elsewhere within the country to offer the things that can attract a business to come there. One of our major customers actually is opening what will be the largest data center in the world in the state of Iowa. And Iowa and Nebraska were in basically a bidding war to see who could attract this customer. And
very nice. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, and I hear those things, and the thing that I think, the first thought in my mind when I hear those things is, that's great. Because what's wrong with competing elsewhere right within the U.S., right? Ultimately, elected leaders' responsibilities are to at least make the efforts to do the things required to bring business and commerce to their states. If elected officials are not doing that consistently, well, first off, what the hell are they doing day to day? And secondly, all I want to see, as I speak for myself, as I've mentioned in the past, whether it's on the state and local or federal level, is I want to see elected officials try, make a genuine effort. And I think that if they make genuine efforts, the cumulative effects of that over time will result in more business and more commerce. But it can't be we'll do it in just the month of April, and then the other 11 months we'll focus on all the other Mickey Mouse things that we talk about. It needs to be consistent. Every day, every month, there needs to be a consistent effort. Unfortunately, we don't see it with the consistency across the board with all officials. And that's not to suggest that there are no officials who don't make that effort consistently, but there aren't enough.
You're absolutely right. And by the way, from my personal experience, the major problem with all this going on with the national elected leaders is they really don't have a defined agenda of what they're supposed to be doing for the American people and helping us live the American dream. One of the things,
Michael,
when I ask that question, I say, what can you do to set the agenda for the jobs issue? They say, well, the job description for elected leaders in Washington is to represent the interest, the best interest of the American people. I said, but you do not understand. When a person has a job, that is their best interest. They say, well, every day is a new day in Washington. So the problem, Rich, is there's not a defined agenda. What do you do when you get up in the morning? What is your obligation to the taxpayer? It's simply not there.
Michael, before the show started, Henry and I were talking, and I said something to him that is a mantra, one of my business mantras, which is never have a meeting without an agenda. Because otherwise it just becomes a big donut-eating, coffee-drinking BS session. Never have a meeting without an agenda. Well, don't cast a vote for an official without an agenda. And I mean a real agenda. I mean one that makes sense, that at least on the surface appears that it could be implemented. The problem, the main issue, is that within the realms and the confines of governments, local, state and local, or federal, there just simply isn't a consistent number amount of elected officials to get on board with things. And that ultimately is going to come down to whom we decide as an electorate that we need to have in there to say, okay, I believe this person going forward is going to make the effort. The mind is in the right place. He, she talks about the things that are key to our country. The problem is there's too much talking. See, that's the thing that we do better than anywhere else in the world. We have a lot of good talkers. And we need not just the talk, we need actual legislative change.
You're absolutely right, Rich.
But I don't believe that can happen, Michael. I do, and again, I still do not believe that it can happen with the same logic that we apply of lesser of two evils and accepting the fact that there is little to no choice election after election, year after year, year after year, term after term.
You're right, Rich, and I want to say this to you. Every meeting that I have, whether it's our community association, our agency, or here with American Workers, an agenda is prepared, so you have some route. The problem is in Washington, they don't want to put anything in writing. If they had a written agenda and that was sent out, this is our most important issue we're going to address this week, this month, this year, we may have a better knowledge of what they do. But they don't want a written agenda because people can say, well, they had it on the agenda, but it was never taken up.
I was speaking to an unnamed politician from the Northeast who I think might have his eye on a gubernatorial race coming up here. And we were talking about businesses and small business, what SCORE did, and I said, what initiative do you have for small businesses to help small businesses grow? And I got a very, very well-practiced 30-word elevator speech. And when he was finished, I said, well, that's great, Senator. What's the House bill number on that? And he was dead silent.
That's right.
He looked at me and he said, pardon me? And I said, what's the number on that bill? I mean, I've heard what you're promoting here. What's the House bill number on it? I said, but is there a caucus out there that's supporting this? Is it somewhere in being discussed? And he looked at me like I had a third eyeball.
You're right. And Larkin, Rich, you're absolutely right. They bull us up to no end. And few people have told me in recent months, I will say since the beginning of the year, that we are degrading the work of the elected officials during this broadcast. And I say, no, we're not degrading them. We're just bringing attention to what they're really doing for us. And
degrading?
Remember that word, degrading, I thought, oh, are you kidding me?
Michael, first of all, what we do on this show helps these people, right? So let us help you. Help us to help you, okay? That's
yeah, help us to help you get some pressure to do something, not just show up in the morning, get up, run for your breakfast, lay down, go to the spa, go on the floor, have somebody else bull for an hour, and then we got to have lunch, we have to have this and that. There's no agenda. You're absolutely right.
No, it helps. And considering there's no term limits, I mean, hell, I'd be looking to call everywhere I can, and there is not a single informed voter in our country who can convince me that the lack of choice is the very reason that things are for the most part year to year stagnant. We see growth here or there. I do believe, as Mark said, that the consciousness of the country is changing to pay more attention to where things are made, but it is that lack of choice that is the number one reason why we're not moving forward at the speed we need to. It is because the lack of choice keeps ideas out. It keeps people who are, I don't like to say keeps people who are qualified. I like to say people who are capable. We have a lot of capable people, I'm sure, in our country who could thrive in these roles, but the lack of choice, the system being as oppressive as it is, it keeps those ideas, it keeps those people away.
And a lot of people I talk to at that hardware retail show, you know, about building in this country, about the new inventors and why don't you have your product here, because it's not as easy to build, manufacture here environmentally, and a lot of red tape. So we need our leaders to make it easier on our businesses to produce products, the inventors, the entrepreneurs. One other thing we're talking about is the lip service we get from the politicians. And it is lip service. We want more action. I had a guy from Germany stopped in our store parking lot yesterday before I was getting on the bus, and he said, I seen your article in the Der Spiegel, which is a large German magazine I was in a while ago, and I said, you came to the store. He said, I landed in Houston, went to California, drove to Oklahoma, and now I drove to your store, and then I'm going to New York City. I said, how many miles? He said, I'm going to put 7,000 miles on, but I love your concept. He said, in Germany, we believe we're built on 50 to 100 employee companies. He said, we need to do what you're doing because China is our problem, factory of the world also. But he said, but you don't have leaders in your country.
You're
he
said, so
you
right.
need better leaders. So this was yesterday. Gentleman from Germany in a rental car with Texas plate. you know, he hit it right on the head.
You know, a few weeks ago, we were talking about the report card for America's national leaders. Well, that really got some good responses. But based on those responses, I see that Americans are really very concerned about the unemployment rate in America. It doesn't reflect the true amount of people out of work. And also the slow job growth is really devastating to the American way of life. We're watching people that could and should be in a job out of a job because those industries dried up. They can see more for rent or for sale signs available than any looking for labor signs. So it's we got to do something to turn it around. And the politicians are getting our message. And as I said, we pick on the politicians, and our broadcast is nonpartisan. So we take a full look at all the issues, and we bring up the fact that all 535 elected officials, plus, and I mean plus, the President of the United States and the Vice President of the United States should be working feverishly day and night to make sure that their constituencies, America's taxpayers, are employed and able to enjoy life. And when you enjoy life, you're able to go into the economy and do something positive for America.
And you know, there's some culpability on the part of the consumers also. I attended a three-day seminar this past weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Saturday, we're on lunch break, and I'm sitting there eating a sandwich, and I'm listening to this other couple that was in the seminar just feverishly complain about city council and this and that and the other thing. And I leaned into that conversation, and I said, can I ask you a question? As a matter of fact, I'd like to ask all three of you a question. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Two of them said, we're amazed with the question, and I think we're trying to conjure one up. And the third person actually looked at me and said, I vote, but it doesn't do any good.
That's right. And, you know, I want to say to you, just as I go around and I have the reputation of, you know, talking about and showing the American Workers flyer, this is what people have to do. You have to be a little bit of a niche. As we said earlier, the squeaky wheel does get the oil. And if we don't do this now, it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger in the future. It is happening. Many of our city council people in Philadelphia are themselves concerned about jobs. When they hear from me, right away they call back. And, you know, I saw it, I heard it, and I do email many of them on a regular basis, as all of our listeners who signed up for American Workers Radio get all of our information. They are responsive to us because we're on a local level. What do we do to get those people on a national level to start responding to the constituents that send them to Washington?
Exactly.
That's the question, Larkin.
Exactly. And if you've ever been in a congressman, in a politician's office, and watched the cadence of their staff, you understand that the politician gets little, if all, involved in what his populace is asking, saying, reaching out for. It's always touched two or three or four times, unless at some point that staffer says, wait a second, this guy's got a little bit of influence and probably could throw some votes in our direction if we make him happy. Now, all of a sudden, the congressman, the city councilman, the county commissioner is willing to call you up and talk to you.
Right. In fact, that means to me that they're overstaffed. I see that all the time.
Wow.
It is really too much in the way of people on the payroll keeping you at a distance from the person who's supposed to be representing your best interest.
And again, I'm not trying to sling mud. I'm not trying to make enemies because I have to survive with my little nonprofit here in Philadelphia. But go to city council, go to their offices, and from the enormous SUVs and protection that they get and their ability to get from one side of the city to the other side of the city without touching the brakes and all of the rest of the folderol that goes on and all of the staffers and this, you know, I mean, huge staffs that they have. It's city council, for Lord's sake.
Well,
it's a city of 1.5 million people. This is not Pennsylvania. It's not California. It's not even Rhode Island. It's Philadelphia, and if you add up the staffers, I'm going to guarantee you there are 250, 300 staffers working for city council.
And there's really no reason, if that's the case, to have all that if the person you elected is not accountable directly to the people. With that, we're going to take a break, and we want to acknowledge a few of our sponsors, and I want to thank our sponsors for consistently helping our broadcast 7 days a week, and of course our Wednesday broadcast of American Workers Radio. Check us out at AmericanWorkersRadio.com and check that picture of Mark. It's right on the left side, all the way down where it says Special Reports.
Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio, attorney at law, is available to handle your legal matters. She's part of the well-known firm Bennett, Bricklin, and Salzburg, and works in all areas of the law, including immigration, personal injury, compensation, and real estate. Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio is fluent in both English and Polish and welcomes clients to contact her from throughout the Philadelphia area and New Jersey. If you need legal assistance, call Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio at area code 215-423-4824. That's area code 215-423-4824.
Dr. Eva Machak has two dental offices in Philadelphia to serve you. One at 3084 Armingo Avenue in Port Richmond, another at 4250 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section. Dr. Eva Machak will provide you with quality dental care at affordable prices. For more information or an appointment, call Dr. Eva Marchak at area code 215-739-2787. That's 215-739-2787. Dr. Marchak speaks both English and Polish. Serena's Auto Body Shop and Collision Center has two locations to serve you. One at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. For more information, call Serena's Auto Body at 215-535-6606. That's 215-535-6606.
The office of Dr. Vojimir Zinn and Everest Dental, located at 9892 Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, provides quality service at affordable prices. For a full range of dental services, from general care to implants, veneers, and many other procedures, contact Everest Dental for an appointment at area code 215-671-0188. From the moment you enter the office of Dr. Vojimir Zinn of Everest Dental, you will witness the latest technology in all areas of dental services. The Everest Dental offices accept all major insurances. Dr. Zinn speaks English and Polish and welcomes you to call Everest Dental, 9892 Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, at area code 215-671-0188. That's area code 215-671-0188. The Polish National Alliance, America's largest ethnic fraternal life insurance and investment organization, encourages you to open a PNA annuity. Your deposits are tax deferred. You can open the account with $500 and then make future deposits in any amount in your tax-deferred annuity. For more information about PNA annuities, IRAs, and life insurance programs, call the Polish National Alliance at their toll-free number 1-800-621-3723. That's 1-800-621-3723. And complete details will be sent to you from the national office. When you call, you can also request that a local PNA representative contact you directly with further details about PNA annuities, IRAs, and their many insurance programs. Call the Polish National Alliance at 1-800-621-3723. That's 1-800-621-3723.
Welcome back to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. Serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area, and referring back to the annual expo that we went to, Larkin and I, last week, it was titled Your Road to Success. As I went around talking with some of the booth providers, some of them that I have seen in the past, know from past events, told me that what you have to do is motivate more people to speak up where they shop. It seems that the American people are very sheepish. They don't speak up. They see what they need. They just grab it off the shelf. And when people ask me, well, what more can I do? I say, just keep doing what you're doing, but do speak up where you shop, because those managers, those clerks behind the cash registers, they all have to know and hear. They do get together for meetings and talk amongst themselves. Well, these people are complaining that we need more of this and more of that. And as I said so many times, we have more American-made products available, but we can't get them in our stores. What do you have to add to that, Mark?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. You know, first, on a real positive note, I had six guys I laid off back in October. I did bring two back in the last 2 weeks, which is very good, and I feel better about it. But like you said, the unemployment's too low. But, you know, on Made in America products, the people are doing a great job. I always want to thank the listeners because I tell people, I just told a lot of friends, keep asking these stores for more product. Keep requesting it because that bug goes in the ear. And these buyers that I just met, the 17,000, they're sent from their management team to go find Made in America items, and that's why there's these displays, and that's why there's these new products. I'll give you an example. Like, I had one garden hose nozzle 3 years ago when I opened that store, and you could not find any other one. I went to the store. I've got two more that are added since, and I said, when did you invent this? When did you come up? Well, one was a year ago. One was 2 years ago. One guy said I had to go find brass made in our country very hard. There's three brass companies. Then I had to find one that would manufacture a garden hose end. But we're seeing results, but people have to speak up. They have to know people make a difference. Same as when I opened the store, you know, people said, you know, we lost trust with the system. You give us hope, but it's working. So I just want to make sure people know we want to be positive that it is making a difference. It may be a slow process, but you are seeing many, many more things made in America.
And you have to add to that, Mark, there is a sneaker company that's been in business for 20 years in the USA. At one time, all of their sneakers, or I say majority of their sneakers, were made here in the USA. Today, with the exception of maybe one or two, 98% of what they feature in the store is foreign made. So when I went to speak with them about it, they said, well, you know, this is just the American way of life. I said, well, it's the American way of life. I said, how many people in here have been in this store for 20 years? They said, well, just a few of us. I said, well, then follow where the trail of where the shoes came from and see if those manufacturers are still in business. Maybe you can bring a growing number of products back to your feature of selection.
And one guy I also met, Gibraltar Steel, which is a huge steel company. I have one up in Buffalo, but I met the two heads, one of product development and one of the steel process. But they make the oldest mailbox in the country. Everybody probably seen it, a steel mailbox, says mailbox on the front. They still make that. They loved what I was doing, and they also said they're working on bringing a mill back to the United States, which was awesome to hear. It was just a great show for many, many contacts, but they still make that mailbox in the United States. So that was nice to see. I just found out, you know, so much information where people, and these are two heads of a huge company, they wanna grow our country again, and they're realizing that it has to be done. I did a speech yesterday for 50 school teachers from our area. I got asked to come down, so I showed up. I told my bus story and, you know, why I did the Made in America story, losing accounts to China. We need to build more Made in America. Well, a lot of them clapped at the end, and a couple industrial arts teachers came up to me and said, you couldn't have hit it more, you know, nail on the head yet. You know, college is great for our kids, but they washed out the metal shops, the wood shops out of these schools, and we don't agree. The parents have to change. We have to offer kids working with your hands, a plumber, welder, technician is okay. So it was a great way to see, but these teachers believed in what we were doing. They really, really liked the Made in America store and that we have to get back to skilled workers and do this for our future, our children's future.
You're absolutely right, Mark. And in fact, I have complained on a regular basis to the schools. I say, why have we dropped these programs? I mean, where are these kids going to go? I mean, you go to college, you're in debt. You get out of college, you're in debt and can't find a job. Where is the bottom line? As I tell people, all of us, the American people, going out to the stores, looking for the items made in America or assembled in America, or speaking up at the cash register, calling over the people who serve you in the aisles to let you know where the products are. Let them know. We all deserve an A-plus on our report card. However, although our efforts are good and they're growing, we still have to keep after the national elected and the private sector business leaders, too. They have to follow our lead.
And, Mike, I did talk to Marcy Gaber with Made in the USA. She owns the Made in USA brand. And she basically certifies, her mark is a certification mark. It enhances people to identify their goods and that are made or grown in the United States. And Marcy does want to be on your show. And if you call her, she's great. She explains to people and kind of helps them through the process. to be able to put Made in America on their package and meet the Federal Trade Commission laws and different things. So I'd love you to give her a shout. Sue did send you an email on her information, but she was great. She'd love to be on your show.
Oh, ask Sue to send me that information. I don't remember getting that.
I think she did it this morning, but I'll make sure it went through.
Okay.
Hey, Mark, I don't want to open up a whole new can of worms, but I had a client that I saw the other day. He's a T-shirt manufacturer, and he's taking it to a new level and is going to start putting art on the shirts. And I won't get into all of that. All I know is that he said to me, he's an Asian American, and he said to me, he's from China, that he can put Made in America on his T-shirts as long as 8% of the cotton or whatever fiber is used and the labor is in that shirt, only 8%. Is that true?
Now, the Federal Trade Commission requires 50% domestic, 50% foreign. 8% sounds totally wrong. It's actually, I just talked to with the Federal Trade Commission a little bit at the show. I met a guy. It's actually up to more 60, 65, 70% has to be here, domestic. But there's a few things separating labor and material, but that sounds way low, Larkin.
Yeah, well.
It doesn't make sense. There's a lot of fraud out there.
I'm going to take on a personal mission to be able to answer that question.
This lady can definitely help.
That's what I figured. That's why I brought
her. Marcy Gabar. She's got passion and heart. Her father was a manufacturer, and she's done this since 1998. So she's a really good person.
You know what? As we're discussing today, I'd love to get together with some of the businesses in Philadelphia. I know Larkin is a big supporter of Made in Philadelphia. Well, we may have to do Made in Philadelphia along with Made in our surrounding counties as well. But maybe we could organize at some point in the future a fair of all people making things, bringing a table to show the products that they offer, and then have people come around and show and tell the people where they're available, what stores you can pick them up at.
I'm not embarrassed to use this client's name at this point, but I have been working the last couple of weeks with a company in town, an 70-year-old company in town called Adelphia Steel, and they make steel furniture, desks and it's not the most popular furniture in the world, but I think with a little bit of redesign, a little addition of wood, that you know, you can make the product a little bit more sexy and it'll go. But I said he proudly, when I told him about this initiative, held up one of his flyers, and up in the corner was the Made in America. And I said, you know, how much product do you sell in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania as opposed to the probably 40%. So I said, you know, clearly, if we talk in geographical terms, your biggest customer is the state of Pennsylvania. So really what you need on this flyer is proudly made in Philadelphia. And I never saw this coming. I never saw it happen, but the meeting ended in about 25 minutes. And as I was walking out of the room and leaving, he said, Howard said, Larkin, come here, I want to show you something. And he handed me the flyer, and he had his girl that does all of their work put underneath the Made in America, Made in Philadelphia by Philadelphians.
Oh, excellent.
So I thought that
very
was
good.
Great.
Yeah, we've got a lot of, we start local, you know, I always start local, and then we got Made in New York products. Eventually, now, if I ever continue and grow the store, every aisle, I'd love to have a state. You know, each aisle would be a state and their products.
Oh, that's a very good idea. I love it.
Yeah, I'd love it because, you know, with being a destination now.
For your awesome participation with that idea, you get an A-plus on your report card, too. Larkin gets an A-plus. And, wow. Rich, how are we going to give you an A-plus on this deal?
I thought I was going to get an F-minus, actually. I was expecting an F-minus. You know, I want to say something, Michael. You made a comment before the break, and we've been talking today about the consistency of elected officials. At the risk of contradicting myself here, because I realize I probably oftentimes sound like an anarchist, which I'm not, but I bet that if we had a chance to look at the last 365 days worth of work from the president, Congress people, in particular the key leaders, so to speak, in Congress, I bet if we looked at their palette of work, they're probably, I will say with a high degree of confidence, that there is some work that's been devoted to these matters, to the overall health and well-being of the United States. But I would also suspect that we'd see a hell of a lot of time devoted to things that we should not be devoting our time and resources to.
Hardly
any. That's where we need to change the course and the path. Because for every dollar and for every moment of time that's not invested in trying to get us on a more accelerated pace, because I'm all about moving. I'm an impatient person, right? So I'm all about moving as quickly and efficiently as possible. That's really the key thing. And I bet if we really took a look at all of that time and work devoted, for every dollar, for every moment spent elsewhere, is a dollar and a moment of time that's not devoted here.
You get an A on your report card for that. And I want to add this. Because there is so little or nothing going on in Washington directed at creating jobs, we have no national discussion taking place. We can't say that we're agreeing with this senator or this congressman regarding his proposal to bring jobs or lower corporate taxes, because those discussions simply don't exist.
Well, Michael, you want to know how ultimately, and I'm going to say this for all the listeners, the way to ultimately get elected officials to talk about these things more consistently and with substance. See, I said before, we talk a lot. And if we're going to talk, let's at least talk with substance. The only way, in my opinion, or perhaps not the only way, but the best way to make these discussions mean something, is these guys and gals in office who are running for the same seats over and over again, they need to be challenged. They need competition. We need capable people running, because when capable people are running and we have choice, what it does is actually forces candidates to remain a viable candidate, forces candidates to actually talk about these things and actually campaign in a kind of way that can resonate with voters and say, this is what I'm going to try to do, as opposed to the same hot air, hype, Mickey Mouse stuff that we hear election after election, because no one's there to drive a wedge between the it's always the two parties, right, every election. So there's no one coming in. There aren't 4 or 10 or 20 choices. So if people say to me, yeah, but Rich, we'll have 20 people running for the presidency. We'll have 30 people running for this seat or that congressional seat or that House or Senate seat. My answer is great. We have over 300 million people in this country.
Heck, you know, you're Rich, every time you say that, people stop me and say, I like this guy's ideas more and more. How do we get those parties up and running is the problem. Or not the parties, but individuals that are going to get the money to get their face and their agenda before the American people so that they can be viable. It's all money, money, money. With those dollars, you can crush anybody and push them aside.
Just like you had a broadcast one day about health care, which, by the way, many friends of mine who listen to the show on rebroadcast, many of them brought up that particular episode, though they brought up many, but that one in particular. I don't know if they'll work, because I don't have the empirical evidence. I know that the path we're on is not the most efficient path, but I think, Michael, if I may say so, I think I've got the plan. I've got the plan to totally revolutionize the way that we do campaigns and elections in America. And maybe one day we need to have a broadcast, because I truly believe that the combination of ideas that I've culled from many people over time, and I think I've put it together in a nice little tidy package and proposal, that if our electorate went out and about in the next 10 or 20 years, followed this path, I think that we would see dramatic, measurable change through the electoral process. The government should be involved in economic growth.
Because they say they're doing it for the best interest of the people.
But are they really?
No, they're not.
That's where our voters need to ask themselves. You know, I've been voting the same way 10 years, 20 years, 40 years. Where has it gotten? Has it gotten us to, has it accelerated the path enough? People who really think about it objectively, look in the mirror and ask themselves that question honestly, have to come to the conclusion, no, we've not gone at the rate that we need to. We're still a number one economy, guys. That's the good news. And the good news moving forward is that there are lots and hundreds of millions of jobs that are going to need to be created over the next few decades.
And we better create them.
If we miss this one,
this is over.
If we miss this one, you better like the cold of Canada. You better, all right? So if we miss this one coming up, guys, this is, we're in a prime. As much as we talk about things and hasn't gone our way and, you know, what have we been doing, the good news is this. Moving forward, we're on the precipice right now to take advantage of things. And ultimately, we should be the leader in an international global economy.
And, you know, Richard, I'm going to ask that you put some thought into that. I'd love to have a broadcast like that where we would outline some ideas. In fact, maybe even welcome on a few candidates who are running outside the normal party system. Let's hear what they have to offer and maybe get a response from the person who's being, you know, placed on the top of the mountain by a particular party.
And I've got to tell you, when you, Rich, when you talk about stale votes, one of my favorite quotes in the world was made by a fellow who was very famous in the city of Philadelphia. His name's Charles Barkley. And Charles Barkley, to me, should be a philosopher, and he should have run for governor in Alabama. And it's not the nature of the comment, because it is extremely funny, but it's an indictment of the way people vote in this country. But he said once, poor people have been voting for Democrats for the last 65 years. And guess what? They're still poor.
And also, I'd like to add to that, the reason we are where we are is because poor people can't write checks to those political candidates. So they take the money from those who can write the checks and have the influence upon them. Rich, we got to follow up on that. I love this idea.
I'm ready to go. Again, I don't know if it'll, guys, I don't know if it'll work, but I'll tell you, the rate we're going, we're not moving quick enough. And those stale votes, Larkin, you talk about, it's the same, look, it's the same stale bread being served every election.
Yep.
And we need more. We celebrate that we have 40 fast food hamburgers to choose from up and down the I-95 corridor from PA to NY. We celebrate it. We've got 100 cell phones to choose from. Why do we accept two candidates every election? Because the government should be involved in economic growth. But if they're going to be involved, guys, well, there's the rub. We need to put people in there who are at least going to try. I think, Michael, that your listeners will perhaps maybe we could come to the consensus that our guys and gals trying, right? Are they making a sincere effort? If they make a sincere effort, that's the minimum expectation. In my opinion, I believe that's the minimum expectation.
We are getting responses from people doing their job, going out and making sure that our efforts on this broadcast and the broadcasts all over the country that are promoting the Buy American Made campaign. If you go and put in Google Buy American Made campaign, it immediately goes to our site. We own that name. What we have to do is own the cause and get more people behind it. We can't allow people to just say, well, tomorrow it'll change and they can't fight City Hall. And we must fight City Hall. We must make change. Larkin, Rich, Mark, thank you again for another great discussion here on American Workers Radio.
You're welcome, Michael.
We will have a rebroadcast up on the air in a little bit, but I want to remind all of you, go on over to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and on the bottom you'll see there is a special link, and check that out. You'll find the photos from Mark Andel's stand there at the Las Vegas Trade Show. Until Saturday at 11 here on 860 or next Wednesday, thank you for tuning in. Spread the word, because American workers need us. David Zenya.